You are watching and listening to Chris and Less Than Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favorite podcasts.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!
Show with Chris
and Brad
on Leicester
Till I Die TV. Right, Chris. All white there. All white in the back. How the devil are we all? Happy? Ho, ho, ho. Look, it was snowing. We are less than a month of Christmas. Let's get into the spirit. It was an early Christmas present from Leicester today. Leicester City. Well, can you believe this? Let me just bring this up. Look at this. Look, Leicester City 4, Watford. Is it Manchester United then? Oh, oh yes, we remember that well. Watford 2, Leicester City 4, Watford 2. What a game. I must admit, I thought it was going to be called off. I thought that is just typical of Leicester. We were 3-1 up at the time, and this game is going to get called off. It didn't happen, thankfully, but it was, well, they got one back, but hey, we held on, and at the end, it was a good result. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. This is where you can watch us, and I am losing my voice. This is where you can also listen to us as well.
Listen on your favorite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Indeed, we are all over the place. new thing that we've started doing, and I love doing this when it's good news. I don't enjoy it so much when it's not good, but it's on this day for Leicester.
Leicester City FC, on this day in history, with Leicester Till I Die TV.
What were you doing? What were you doing this day on the 28th of November, 2015? I'll tell you what, if you were actually at the King Power, you would have probably been wiping your eyes in disbelief. Because it was on this day, in 2015, that Jamie Vardy scored for Leicester City against Manchester United at the King Power Stadium to rewrite the record books. The goal meant Vardy, if you remember, had scored 11 consecutive Premier League games, breaking the record set by Man United striker Ruud van Nistelrooy 12 years earlier. And not only that, Ruud, and you were very generous to Jamie, but Jamie managed to do it all in one season. He didn't have a mid-season break halfway through. Did I say that out loud? Let's just get some great memories there. Daisy, I'm guess Daisy from Devils United TV has gone off now because her team have just kicked off. Rennie, how the devil am I? I'm actually, believe it or not, rather good. I think I'm hiding it well, though. How are you? David, hello. Nice to see you as usual, and nice to see you as well, David. You are welcome. Facebook user, not sure who you are, but hi, good game. Melina, Arsenal, great, good win for you today. Arsenal fan, thanks for joining us, Melina. How is Canada? There was snow in Leicester. In fact, it snowed that much that Burnley Tottenham was called off at Burnley. And yet down here in Poole, where I live, glorious sunshine. Glorious sunshine. David, nice intro there. Thank you so much, young man. And Rennie said she's good. It is the post-match show. And for two games running, you're gonna have two little happy elves. Because this is Leicester Till I Die post-match show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV. Are you ready?
Ready?
Let's get ready to rumble.
Are you rumbling, my fellow elf?
Well, I'm definitely happy with the football, mate. I'll say that much.
I must admit, it took me about... Well, if I say I joined just as Jamie Vardy scored his first goal. Up until then, I did message you saying you're on your own tonight, mate. I can't see it. And even the Leicester City link, my radio was down. But my God, I'm glad I managed to find something to watch it on in the end. But it was no joke, was it?
He's ruined it already. He's ruined it already. There we go. No, it wasn't, mate, but it was honestly, and I know people will probably sweep it under the carpet and say, oh, well, the conditions made football things irrelevant to a sense, yeah. Like it was slippery surfaces and things were going to go wrong and tactics would go out the window. But I tell you what, Leicester played no differently. Leicester played no differently in that snow. They really didn't. All they did was go, instead of aerial balls, we'll play it on the floor. They showed how to play in weather conditions like that.
Yeah,
that was impressive.
And to be honest with you, in a way, the match was almost over before it started snowing, because it didn't really, until just before half-time, start to come down, did it?
No, it really didn't. It was about 10 minutes to the end, and it made me laugh when they were showing the replays of Jamie Vardy's goals near the end of the match, when the match was, you know, it was literally at its end point.
Yes.
And the commentator said, two goals that have just shown you there. I think it might have been actually Maddison coming off, who was probably man of the match, no doubt, with his performance.
Yes.
It might not have been Vardy, but it showed you the goal that he scored. And when he scored that in conditions that we have to tell you, it was the same game, because it was on glorious green grass when Maddison said thank you very much to the Watford defender for giving him such an early Christmas gift.
Yes.
And then you look at where the other goals came from and the state of the pitch throughout, it's kind of like, yeah, that happened over 90 minutes.
Yeah, it did. And I was laughing because Burnley was called off. And as you know, called off. And as you know, I lived there for quite a few years. And obviously it's grim up north. And you could always tell when you're getting to Burnley because it's always wet and dank and cold. And I was laughing. And then, of course, that happened. And I looked out my window to make sure I wasn't in a parallel universe because I had glorious sunshine down here. But you northerners, you're made of stronger stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we've had it actually pretty bad here over the course of the day as well. It was definitely something out of nowhere. But I never feared the game getting called off. Just for one reason. I've remembered several games where the weather's been like that at the King Power, not just Filbert Street. I'm only going back as far as, can't remember our opposition now. I'm pretty sure it was Ipswich Town.
It was. If you're thinking about the one where it was on telly.
Yeah, where it was on telly.
Off,
and yeah, I remember players abandoning their cars in traffic to get to the 1-0 win against Middlesbrough for the same reasons. I remember anyone that saw can remember the years back in the 90s. Anyone remember the Blackburn game that played was played in complete fog? You know,
I don't
so,
remember that. No. I must admit that one I don't remember.
Yeah, Chris Sutton, I think, scored, and we scored 1-1 from a free kick from Lennon. And it was played in complete fog. You couldn't see it. You literally missed it.
I mean, I felt sorry for the guys that were having to sort the pitch. I mean, they did it at half-time at Man City. They delayed the start of the second half because they were clearing the pitch. And they did a very good job, I've got to be honest with you, the whole pitch. But obviously with Leicester, it wasn't that bad at half-time. But I did, this is making my ears itch, it might have to come off soon. I saw one guy, he was walking around with like a reverse leaf blower and blowing the hot air. And then another poor guy was there with his shovel. And I thought, that's a bit inequality, isn't it? What did he do? Do rock, paper, scissors before like, you... you're going to get
they all do a great job, especially at Leicester's ground. Yeah. As you know, I worked there and know a fair few of them from my time there, and they do a good job. But you definitely know who's the apprentice and learning, and who's got the easier job. You definitely get that with that. There is that everywhere you go, I suppose.
But I mean, this I put it up earlier. I mean, you can just about see the ball, and it was an orange ball as well. But I mean, fair play to the players, because I don't think there was one booking in that game, and there were some tackles going in. And credit to players of both sides, played it very well.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you could argue that it maybe took both teams a different style to adjust to the game a little bit. When the snow was so heavy on the pitch, I mean, you could argue the start of the second half expressed that Watford were trying to play the, I think you'd call it the weather technique or the skid technique. You know, they were playing the balls over the top behind our defence, which Leicester seemingly reverted to near the end of the match, because they were two goals up and any team would in that situation given weather conditions. But, you know, they learned that wasn't always going to be the case. Leicester got in quite a lot, actually, then, you know, reversing that on Watford. You know, and Castagne probably figured that you can't dawdle on it. You've got to be preempting the sense of the ball and make sure you're as close to it as possible. You can't let it run across you, because players get away with it a bit more. I think, obviously, I'm probably saying nice, warm conditions, or just not a horrid day of coming down with rain or snow like it was today for the players. I think maybe there were some tackles today that a card would have come out for, if we're being perfect honest, because there'd have been no excuse for some of the extra momentum towards it. But, you know, I don't argue with anything that went on in today's game in terms of mistakes made, i.e. with Castagne, because his crunching tackle, which was kind of like, well, if you're going to get away with it, obviously I can get away with it, led to Leicester restoring their goal lead. So it all balanced itself out. And I think Leicester, over the 90, actually deserved it, because they played the conditions better than Watford to a point.
Nice return for Claudio. The crowd gave him a good welcome back.
Yeah. I know you said earlier, I don't know who Daisy is, but Maisie commented. And she's obviously doing her watch along now, so I very much like watching it. Yeah, you called her Daisy.
I call her worse to her face, believe me.
Well, yeah, probably it is you, mate. But no, if she watches it back later, or there is any other United fans in there, that's how you do it. Don't worry, we've got revenge for you. We'll show you how to beat Watford.
I know. I mean, that before we get onto the match itself, that is sums for me. It sums the season up. And I know Rennie and David, you're talking man of the match. We'll come on to that later. I'll bring your comments up then. But I mean, it is Watford beat Man United. We beat Watford. We beat Man United. We lose to a team down the bottom. What a season it's turning out to be. You know, you explained to me how football works, because I don't get it this season.
It has been. I mean, you know, obviously we predominantly focus on Leicester being a Leicester channel. For you know, it might sound silly and obvious, but we don't sit here and only just notice everything Leicester does when we're not talking about them on the camera. We've seen it all season. We've maybe had to remind some fans that have, you know, just had that tunnel vision looking at the state of Leicester. I know it's not a get out of jail free or an excuse by any means, but we're not the only team that are suffering with injuries or suffering with dips in form or suffering to find our feet or not being consistent. It seems to be a very adverse effect with this year, and we've had to give credit to other oppositions more this season, which isn't ideal. We don't like doing it, but we like to be fair. And you know, when we play certain teams like a West Ham, or you know, we discussed that first opening half hour against Arsenal, we give a lot of credit to these oppositions, and it just shows that Leicester aren't the only teams that are also improving and doing these things. And Leicester have, and I know we'll get onto it more when I have the segment to further back it, but these last two games, and I'm talking the Europa League fixture and this one, are very pleasing for Leicester fans, because it also backs up things that have been said post-Warsaw by the manager and the players that suggest that they've maybe found that balance in the slow build-up, patient football, and then the high, quick press football. We seem to have found that balance. So hopefully, with the likes of Southampton and a strong Villa side, I won't say anything about the predictions. I'll save that to next week, because I'm having a storm up. But what I will say is, you know, they're the sort of games now at Leicester that will go into the games as fans and as players, and as the managers going, they play like that, they'll beat them. I'm sorry. I know that might sound preemptive and people might say I'm getting ahead of myself, but if we play like that against them teams, Leicester should start to see the points rolling in a bit steadier than what they have been.
You have certainly, in the Long Ball Prediction League, you have had a stormer this week. I think it's the first time I've seen anybody get into double points with your 13. Well done. I must admit, I don't know what I did, because I've gone completely against everything I said in the prediction show, and I ended up with 1 point. Now, how that works...
See, that's the mistake I was making early season, mate. I was trying to hedge my bets between both leagues, and then I realised I'm doing really well in one and crap in the other. So apart from the Arsenal game, which I told you about, was the only one that I hedged my bets on, which improved my long ball. I mean, had Leicester won 5-0 and not 4-2, and I got major points. But I think I've got, with the bonuses they give you, I've actually got a total of 26 points for the week. So... I'm the table now in one of the leagues, mate.
You know you have to get all your three bankers correct to get your bonus.
I think you still get a boost of points, but it's not as much as you'll get if you got all three results. But had Leicester won 5-0, I would have got all three bankers spot on.
I complained about it. I think that was a bit...
Yeah, I think the banker does need a bit of a tweak on that, by the way. Because I think if you get three results right, you should still get a boost of points. Yes. But that's another thing.
Let's not talk about that after my 1 point.
I managed more than that when I did half a week, mate. What's going on?
Well, you know, you look at something, you look at it, you think, I didn't predict that.
The amount of times I've done that going, I didn't predict a draw. I went 3-0. What happened
there? Right, a couple of games I'm sat there thinking, it must have gone... anyway, it is what it is. But hey, looking at the game today, I mean... Line up, it was good to see Johnny Evans back. Thomas is at the moment making that position his own. Lookman, I thought, deserved his start. Ndidi, can we just keep him out the penalty area, please? Ndidi, do not go in our penalty. You want one of those things where, you know, when you walk into an area, he needs like one of those police necklace bracelet things on his leg, so that if he goes into the penalty area, it goes off and somebody can push him out. But anyway, I was disappointed for Ramati. I thought he possibly deserved a start, but then how could you leave out Evans if he's fit? I thought that looked a very good side.
Yeah, it does. And I tell you what, it's credit again to the backroom staff, because there was actually a lot of maturity about Luke Thomas's defending tonight. Again, it probably testament to the fact that Brendan's gone, okay, I tell you what, I'll take what I want as a plan B, I'll take what the plan A is, and I've merged them together, and it's clearly shown effect. Because what you get with Luke Thomas, and it's credit to him because he's a youngster, he's his age, but it just shows what Leicester do, regardless of who's in charge. They've been doing it since Puel days, bringing the youth through and doing this. And you can see what a sharp youngster we have, because normally with Luke Thomas, you either get him in a game against a team where he's told, just defend, sit back in that. Maybe it's a back five, essentially, and it's a defensive five, not a three at the back. Or he's told to go forward, and he's not found that balance. But today, he got his balance. Even in the snow, he genuinely got his balance of play spot on, in my opinion. He was not too conservative defensively, but he was, you know, he didn't go too far forward and get himself caught out up the field. And he pressed well enough to continue. And again, I'll touch on it more in detail in the tactics segment, but he stuck with the game plan that was clear, that from the defence right through the team, the game plan that was clear, not to get too carried away with an attack and not to sit too deep on a defensive line. And it really worked well for Leicester in the end, because I probably look back at that game, Chris, and if you look back at that over the entirety of it, again, you probably say, apart from banning Ndidi from the box and Castagnier realising that snow is not a very good surface to play football on, I don't actually remember Watford, yes, having a lot of chances, but nothing too concrete to make us think, oh, God, Jesus. There was the one that deflected off Soyuncu's back, which probably 4 weeks ago, knowing Soyuncu's long look, goes in off the post, but he probably deserved that look the way he's improved over the last two or three games. I don't really think Watford actually over the 90, especially in that second half, caused us that much to be concerned about thinking they were going to get something from the result, as long as Leicester always had that comfort in front.
He was in the wars today, Soyuncu, wasn't he? One in the back, one in the face.
Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of like he was taking a beating for something he was doing in the side. Maybe he was throwing snowballs at them at half time, and indeed he's had enough.
Is it? Jeff, thanks for rubbing it in, mate. I don't want to know who's done well in the long ball. We're forgetting the long ball. I'm from now on, we only mention the long ball if I have a good week. It's a new rule.
May I just say, I think I might have got my first blast on the day trophy, because Brighton and Leeds finished a stellar game, but they finished 0-0, which I also said as the score. So may I just say, I may have finally won that trophy as well in the other league. But no, we're not talking about, we're not being smug on this channel. Don't play the clock.
That said, if I have a really good week, we are going to mention it.
Don't mention the predictions.
Yes, this is Leicester Till I Die, and this is Claudio.
I remember what I want to remember.
Bless him. I miss his press conferences. 18 minutes or so in, and I'm not sure it was an attempted header that he misjudged or he thought the goalkeeper was behind him, but thanks to the Watford defender, Maddison nips in and slots it away nicely. But in fairness, there would have been a time when he'd have just shot it straight at the goalkeeper. It looks like that confidence is slowly coming back.
Yeah, it really does. And he looks like he's been given the role well and truly the way he desires. Maybe that's, when we saw Maddison out of form and he found himself on the bench and he got back into the team over the last couple of weeks. And I know, again, he didn't complete another 90 minutes. Yeah, right, 88 minutes he came up, but he didn't complete another 90 minutes. But I think, and again, I always stress the testament towards one thing I do appreciate about Brendan Rodgers, is his man management skills. Because the way Maddison conducts himself in an interview, we've known about for ages, but the way he talks about how his manager's been with him and how, he's obviously got support from the players around him as well, but sometimes you need that manager to put an arm over your shoulder and go, okay, I know you can do better. You know you can do better. How do I get the best out of you? Because this is how I feel we should do it, and what are your takes on it? And they've clearly worked together, because Maddison seems to not be playing such a restricted, stay in the centre line, number 10 role, if you like. He's been given that freedom, and something was pointed out on the commentary I was listening to, Chris, and like I said, I'm guessing obviously you missed that because you weren't able to listen to it, was that the defender was behind Vardy. And I think he fell hook, line and sinker for the fact that he went, there's their danger man, there's their quickest man, there's their last man, because this is what Vardy does. Keeper's got this. Rookie mistake, mate. Someone did that to me and it absolutely blindsided me as a goalkeeper and it actually flew straight past me because it was a fair shot that this guy had had. So trust me, as a goalkeeper, you hate seeing that.
And were you?
No, I don't think I've ever mentioned, mate. You used to play ball quite a lot, right? But no, and Madison, and this is what I mean why he's got the free roll. Normally, Madison's around that D area of the box, but this time he drifted in. He slotted in between the defenders, and as soon as that defender went, "Hey, Master Madison, have yourself a goal," and he went, "Thanks very much."
Yes.
And that was clever by both Leicester and showed the changes, the slight tweaks that have been done to Madison's game and maybe the freedom he's been given.
They got one back, and I don't know about you, I thought, here we go again.
Well, yeah, there was always a case of that. And then Leicester kind of went, no. Don't worry about it. We're going to do what we have been doing right when we've been getting it right this season. Here's a goal. It was just typical Leicester. Wasn't he? He didn't even have a chance to kind of really let it sink and go, oh, God, indeed, he's giving away. And I don't like to get critical of players, but the guy had two defenders in front of him. There was no need for that, indeed. But, I don't like to give credit to it either. It was a really good penalty because Cathcart was a full stretch and went the right way.
He nearly got to it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a really good penalty. It was really unfortunate. But Leicester, like I said, Chris, Leicester have been doing what, you know, whilst we've not been accustomed to Leicester scoring from corners, and I know you'll get onto that with another goal in a minute, but we've come accustomed to Leicester conceding a goal and going down the other end and scoring within 10 seconds. And that was something that at least Leicester are not giving, when they're playing well and playing like this, they're not giving Leicester fans a chance to be so disappointed in conceding the goal because they went straight down the other end and made it 2-1.
Well, we did, didn't we? I mean, we have a habit of doing this. Vardy, you can't write the guy off. Two goals before half time.
Yeah, I put a tweet out when he went in on the pub. When you're 34 and supposed to be washed up, but you accidentally make it your 8th and 9th goal of the season, making it 3-1 on the night. But Vardy's not world class. That's what the other people still say about him. 34, got 9 goals on the season. All right, okay. Tell me he's not one of the most world class Premier League strikers. Come at me, because you're not winning the argument. Guy's world class.
Yeah, I mean,
and we scored one corner again, Chris.
Get the header from the corner. I mean, he doesn't get many with his head, in fairness, but you just can't write this guy off. I've said, well, maybe this is his last season. You know, I don't know if it is, to be honest with you.
If this is what he continues on with, mate. It just can't be. Even I was saying it, weren't I, mate? I was with you. I was saying this is where we're going to see the torch get more passed over. Jamie Vardy went, no, mate, not yet. Yes.
I'm still here. 3-1 at half time. And I'm like, yes. I was whispering it to myself, like, we're back. I dare say it out loud, you know, because this is Leicester. But it was good. Half time, it was 3-1. Jeff says here, can't understand why some fans want Rodgers out. Some fans you won't be happy with. Max Pickering says,
has a fan base that is not happy with the manager, regardless.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a manager, it's a godforsaken job, and you can literally go from minute one to being loved to minute 90 being hated. That's how it is. Matt said that was more like it. It definitely was. Brookline, good evening, Brookline. How the devil are you, sir, all the way from the good old US of A? It appears that booing can be motivational. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I said midweek, and I don't know if that was you I said it to or not, Brad, but I don't agree with booing during the passage of play. I'm against that totally, you know. But when the whistle goes for the end of either half, it's the fans' way of saying this is how we feel about that performance. And they've got every right to do that. And if it makes the players go off thinking, yeah, we didn't play very well that game, we need to do something, then, it worked.
Yeah, look, I don't like to normally get involved in these discussions because, you know, you have to always look at it on two sides of the coin. I totally understand why fans do come out and say you should never boo your team and you should never leave too early. The problem is when it's both sides of the argument, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes it can get a bit area out there on the world of social media. Like, that was a really good thing to invent. But I
would be
But what I would like to say to both sides of that argument that say, and I think they both make a very good point to a thing, is the things that people love to forget about when they're making these points, like, oh, if we're losing 3-0 at half time, what am I supposed to go? Hey, well done, lads. We're playing really rubbish. Well done. No, I'm going to boo them and let them know that I'm not happy with what I've paid for and what I've seen. And then you see other, and again, to the other points where they're going, you should never boo your team and leave early. Okay, maybe fine. You can see the argument about booing it. You know, maybe just don't say anything if that's the case, so they know you're not entertained with what you've come to watch. You're not happy with what you've seen so far. But in terms of that, the thing they miss is key facts and things. First of all, they're leaving early. There's elderly people that go to the games. God bless them. There's probably some frozen old people. There's probably some frozen young children. And what that unfortunately means, as much as they love this club and as much as they try to go to every game possible, there are certain things that cannot be held accountable for. Especially if it's a Sunday game, there might be they've got to get a last train because they're difficult to get back on a Sunday.
Oh, it could totally. Just to add to that bit before you go on, when I had my season ticket, I used to travel up every week, and I had, after the final whistle, a 3.5-hour drive back down to get home. I left 3 or 4 minutes early purely to miss the crowds. Otherwise, it took me, you know, ages. So towards the back, it would take me ages to get out the ground. Then I was stuck in traffic, and that was purely the reason, because, you know, people who then get on the bus and have a 10-minute ride home don't appreciate a 3.5-hour journey without any hold-ups, without being stuck in traffic, is bad. But I totally agree with what you're saying, Brad. Yeah. It is a, you're never going to please all the fans all the time. And like you say, you can't be one of these that, you know, if we're bottom of the league and we're not scoring, do we? Yeah, we support the lads. I can say, during the game, you get behind the lads, but you, I think you've got a right to sort of, I don't get it personal, don't get me wrong. Getting it personal is too much. That's totally out of order. But, you know, the players have got to know that the fans aren't happy with...
And you should definitely be allowed to express that freedom. But what I'm feeling is I'm more aiming to try and calm the toxicity. And I'm not saying, by no means, mate, that's not aimed at you or myself or anybody in these comments. This is just what I can sometimes see. And it's not just Leicester fans, I assure you that, when this debate goes on, is maybe see it from the other person's point, but see how they're looking at it. Listen to these people that come into the comments and say, I've got a child that's going on. I don't boo, but I'm not happy with the performance. I certainly won't cheer them on. These people that kind of, like Leicester, find a happy medium. I'm not saying everybody's going to do it, and you're not going to change everybody. No. That I can accept. But maybe if you see a bad performance, go and queue for your pie early. And ignore them people that are trying to cast you in the same shadow as others, because you know, and anybody that knows you well enough, and the people you go to the ground with and know the hours you spend travelling, maybe, know that you do the best you can to be there for as long as possible and support your team all the way through. I guarantee you as well, them people that are leaving the ground early, for whatever reason, they're on the phone. They're on the radio on the phone. They're going on to LeicesterCity.com and they're listening to it. Or they're jumping in the car on a car park because they've got a 4-hour drive and they're finding BBC Radio Leicester.
Oh, yes.
Trust me, they're still following the game, whether they like it or not, what they're hearing, they're hoping.
I mean, I like most Leicester fans, I follow virtually every current Leicester player. In fact, I had a clear out of my social media the other day, and I was still following like Damari Gray and Dennis Pratt, like they're going. But yeah, I would never ever dream of going on to one of their individual ones if they've had a bad game or somebody's missed a penalty and even commenting. Obviously, I've got this outlet to come on, but I think it's right to sort of look at these players. They are in anybody that. Whether even if it's a band and they give a bad concert, or, you know, we're out there these days, and with or without social media, as people that, if you go to a restaurant and have a bad meal, shouldn't you be allowed to say that meal wasn't very nice? Of course you can, but, you know, let's face it. I think, you know, whether that helped them in today's game or not, I don't know. But second half, they got one back. The snow came down. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. But they didn't seem that much of a threat. Ranieri made some changes, and Emmanuel, and I always remember that as something slightly different from the 70s and 80s, Emmanuel got a goal.
Yeah, they did. And in a weird way, when you consider that, and again, I know in my personal opinion, Watford didn't have strong, what I'd like to call strong chances. Like, you can have, you know my opinion on stats, mate. You can come up and show me that Watford had 22 shots and 12 on target, but if 10 of them were straight at Casper or deflecting to Casper's gloves, I'm not really that interested. I'm talking about serious, genuine throw-on-goal chances. And unfortunately, like I said, just like the first goal, make us their own downfall, because Leicester were actually very clever. And like as I stated earlier, I really like the fact that Leicester pretty much played the same way they've been doing, trying to get the ball forward, going back when necessary to help drag Watford out and not be sideways and backwards. But all they did was keep it more on the floor. Instead of playing a switch ball over the top, they played it on the floor. But somehow, and maybe this is just the things that Leicester are still ironing out and are going to be ironing out. You know, it doesn't automatically click, and you don't automatically going back to being this flawless side that went 2-0, 3-0, don't concede. But Castagnier lollygagged on the ball just a little bit. Maybe didn't expect it to get away from him as much on that surface. It was the only blotch on what was a stellar performance by him. And the same with Ndidi. And in the end, that gave Watford a way back into the game. But guess what, Chris? Just like that, Leicester went, no, we're the team in the ascendancy. We like to score when you score. So off we go. See you later. And he wasn't offside. There was no pullback. There was no foul. There was no dodgy VAR. He finally has the goal he deserves. And I know I saw the comment earlier, but I am so in agreement with it. And I think it was Rene that you'd have to bring it up. It is, Chris. Don't just think about signing him. Send him back and organise a deal with him and get Adamona looking in, because he genuinely looks the player that people have talked about from his time in the Premiership when he's been here on loan. Funny enough, under Ranieri, I believe, and Scott Parker with Fulham. Yeah, I really do hope it. And I know people might say, we kind of did this one. No, it's a different class. This kid gets everywhere. You look at that goal that he scores, Harvey Barnes puts in a diagonal shot, knowing where Lupin is, knowing that if he doesn't go exactly where I think in the bottom corner, Lupin's tapping this and it's 4-2. Honestly, I really do like the kid. I want him to be wearing a Leicester shirt next season. And I'd rather organise it now and be our only January deals, to be honest with you.
I wonder, had we not had to go out and sign Vestergaard, whether we would have signed Luckman.
I strongly would agree with that statement, because I genuinely feel that the intent with the amount we was trying to negotiate was around probably the 20-25 million mark. I could be wrong. Someone might correct me what the initial fee was of a discussion. But then obviously the injury happened and we had to dip into that and wasn't left with enough over from what we probably were originally looking at spending or was able to spend. So it is what it is. But I cannot see, because the one big thing that's different between Under's loan and Lukman's loan at this stage of it is this was the start of the period where Leicester were probably still playing someone on that right wing, but it wasn't Under and we were scratching our heads why. Whereas Leicester obviously yet again changed from having that two up front back to a three up front, or well, actually, in a way, four or five up front at points. That not just Barnes, but the other right winger in Lukman is getting back into that side and slotting in with ease. And he just looks like he's at a club that suits the way he wants to play football, and Brennan's getting the best out of him. So if there's a January deal I want nailed on, it's ring them up, say, right, how much do you want? Let's cancel the loan. Let's get you some money early doors. Get this deal through. He's our player. You've got money. You can go and replace it.
Yeah.
Especially if they still send 25 million. I agree with
you. You know, and I think we did have a problem last season down that right-hand side. And I think Mark Albrighton was on, you know, he had a good season last season. And I think that's possibly what kept Under out. We were all, I think with Under, we hadn't seen enough of him to judge him totally. And when we had seen him at the start, he'd had a couple of good games. He'd set up Vardy, he'd got a goal, and then we hardly saw him at all. So we weren't able to say that he had a stinker or whatever. But obviously, over the length of time, if you know, if by not keeping under, it means we get Luckman, I'm a very happy chappy. You know, I really am.
And I would say with under as well, whilst I agree with you, because I was fairly surprised not to see him as broader, but there was always, when Brennan seemed to be inadvertently asked the question, in a way, his responses were probably still saying that he just could not adapt to the strength of the Premier League. And to be fair, you know, he's not the tallest of Lukman, but he's a build. He is a build of a fella to have such pace about him for what he does, if you consider it. And I think he just suits Brennan a bit more, so he has a bit more faith. And you've seen the way he cut in for that goal. His positioning was great. And I think he's just preferring that style of stature of a player to do the role he's asking. Because he has tried to kind of, and I know Leicester fans won't like me mentioning the name. I'm not the biggest fan of it, despite what he's done at the club. But we tried to emulate the Mahrez, the lean, smooth, fast, quick machine with a Gazelle and a Perez and, you know, and an under. We've actually gone for someone who's got a bit of broad shoulders and doesn't mind really driving at them and using it his strength a bit. It's a little bit different, but still with the pace behind it, I'm hoping for Lukman to be a permanent for the Leicester City team going forward, because he's really impressed me when he's had the chance. Because he never seems to disappoint, does he?
No. I think he's still, I think he's still only about 24. So yeah, he's still got, you know, his best years to come. I know Fulham fans were disappointed when he got injured, because he was, up until that point, they were saying his best player. So fingers crossed, we can...
Charging wire.
I did. Sounded like you were getting one of those tape measures out then, you know. But I know you don't like stats, but we are just going to have a quick look at them anyway. To say that the weather was like it was, I'm going to give credit to both teams there, and I ignore possession because that doesn't really mean diddly squat. But, you know, between us, you know, 18 shots for us and 16 goal attempts for them. You know, you can't say it was a boring game, can you?
No, it certainly wasn't. And that's credit to Ranieri. If any club knows anything about the way Ranieri tries to get his team to play football, I think we're the experts at talking about it. Maybe some Chelsea fans as well could join in. I know Chelsea didn't exist until 2005 to generations new to Chelsea fans. I don't know that the 90s actually still had Chelsea in it, and the 80s and the 70s and all that. But he is known to play this style of football. Like I said, we are probably the biggest experts on it and the biggest advocates of what it can achieve when you've got the right mentor at the club. So we knew this. I know I predicted 5-0, and I know I probably was very bold in it and predictions, but I wasn't sort of, and it might sound ridiculous saying it because Bradley went 5-0, but I wasn't expecting it to be like, do you remember Newcastle when they rolled over and died for us, like 5-0 at both home and away games a few seasons back?
Yeah,
I wasn't really expecting it to be like that. I was just expecting Leicester to out Claudio, and it just be a case of Watford just didn't find the back of net. Then I remember that Leicester like to concede goals no matter how well the performance is, and we got 6 goals and we gave them 2 of them. So
I think the fact that shocked me, not the fact that you went that we would score 5, but the fact that you thought we would keep a clean sheet.
Probably the clean sheet, mate, let's be honest. I think Leicester have shown this season that they can score a few goals when they're on song, but they also like to concede them. So, but yeah, it was one of them. It was one of them games, and I've got to give credit to both sides, because it would have been easy for a team, and we've seen this before, sorry just to cut you off, because it would have been easy for a team to kind of make the most out of the conditions. You know, have a player like, oh, I didn't see the ball. We can't play. I can't see you. I can't, you know, and they weren't doing that at 4-2 or 3-1. And, you know, they could have been going, oh, I didn't see it. So that's why I passed it there. I thought that I couldn't see him. I couldn't see him. It went out of play. And that, you know, Watford, credit to it, they actually tried to do the harder style of it and go, I can still see him making a run. I'm going to show this referee we can still make see passes. Unless it's the same, they showed that you can stand on your feet and play it short and keep the ball under control. So, yeah, credit to Watford. I didn't at any point expect Watford to be their usual selves. It's going to be a shame in 6 months when they're sat 13th and they sack him.
Yes, we know it's going to happen. I think
that's a sad thing, isn't it?
The stream I was watching, allegedly, I did hear them say that the referee was happy as long as you could see both goals.
Yeah.
And it didn't look, yes, it was settling, obviously, but you could see in the second half that it was coming from that side where the cover was over the fans, because you could see only half the pitch was still white.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of them because obviously we're not at the game and we're not stood on the pitch. They're watching it. But some angles, I was having to look at the legs for the movement, you know, to just assume what sort of pass or if they've got the interception in. I was kind of looking more at the player's movement and trying to keep my eye on the ball at times. But then when it did like a zoom in and you could see it at the player's eye level, well, at the player's level sort of thing, you could see that it was a bit brighter out there than it looked through a TV screen. And it was coming down heavy, but I call it fluffy snow because I can't think of any better determination. At some points it was very big flakes that were coming down, but it wasn't like it was peltering down. So it was actually, it's actually easier to see. And again, that's credit to the players because, again, we have seen it, and I wasn't saying that at any point Watford were ever going to try and attempt that when the snow came down, but we have seen teams do it in the past.
Yeah.
I know things have changed, but they do try and make a bit of ref, we can't play this, it's ridiculous sort of claim, and both teams got on with it. So, you know, fair play, Watford.
Fair play to them. Player's performance, and we'll come on to man of the match in a second. But we're looking here, Maddison's best game ever. Very excited by his corner kicks. If he keeps delivering today, we'll pick up set piece goals. I don't know if it was his best. That said, for me, he was my man of the match. I know you might go for another person, but I thought he's back in form, and I think he likes that role where he's given that bit more freedom to do what he wants. You know, we've seen two games where he's been demanding the ball, you know, one goal, two assists. You can't say anything other than, you know, welcome back, James.
Yeah, and again, that freedom has really helped his game. He looked like he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. He was, and again, I'll bring it up more in a few minutes' time when it comes to that segment, but like you've just expressed there, given that extra freedom has made him probably feel that he can take a set piece again, he can take a corner, because I noticed something. Yes, Maddison will always win you fouls, but he normally, playing the structured, very restrictive role he was playing in last season and maybe a bit at the start of this season, he was probably getting 7, 8, 9 heel clippings from an opponent. And again, yes, he was still getting fouled in that way, but it was a lot less because he was just, like I said, he was given such freedom. He looks a better player. He looks happier for it. And again, a massive shout out to the manager and his staff in the dugout, because that's a lot of credit has to go to them, as well as ever the professional Madders is, to bring it upon himself. He doesn't have that. If he doesn't have that respect and communication with his staff and his manager, most importantly. So that just shows in depth how well it is working at Leicester and why we maybe need to be a bit more patient when things aren't always going as roses. We think like they have 3 or 4 games beforehand where it's not quite clicked. Because clearly the players have still have the faith in what Brendan does for the club.
You mentioned it there, and it is time, if people were waiting and getting ready for it. The moment people are just talking about this. Brad and his board, what more can I say? Here we go.
Brad's
Hello, everybody, and thank you, Chris, for passing over to us. So this is how Leicester started the lineup against Watford. It was actually fairly similar in a way. And today's game really expressed where Leicester have decided the combination of slow, patient build-up with their high, fast counter-press. There had been a few questions I'd seen about a lot of people not understanding why Leicester were playing with both Samare and Ndidi, especially given that just because Youri Tielemans is missing, you'd maybe express to see him in that team over, but he's not available. But we know with Samare, he's more inclined to be slightly more forward. So people thought that maybe Samare was being restricted to held in a defensive way. But this is how it worked for Leicester. So you just have to bear with me because I'm dealing with trying to show everybody the lineup. It was a 4-2-3-1 for you guys that are just listening in and cannot see this whiteboard. But this is the defensive thing that Leicester got right today. What Leicester got right today, and I'm trying to try and express these with the colours that I use for the obvious defending and midfield sort of roles. But what Leicester's right today is every time, no matter where they lost the ball, so even if Leicester's line lost, whether it was a defender or whether it was a midfielder, the lowest line, which to kind of give a contrast, if I say that this is Kasper's full-size box and here is the halfway line to give it some form of contrast, Leicester's deepest line actually never sat any further than halfway between the edge of the box and the halfway line. Then people may say, well, that doesn't really seem bad. But if you go back and look at other displays where Leicester have kept a line of three, either playing with a natural three at the back or someone filling in, is the reason it allows for Leicester to play a two-man central defensive midfield is Leicester always have a line. And the previous problems that Leicester had is they were sitting far too deep. And then that meant that Ndidi or Samore and the midfielders were having to take more risks because they had to then propel an attack to fill that gap and then get forward themselves, which left Leicester exposed. However, with between rotating between Ndidi and Samore, the higher press line was showing. And that meant that even if Kasper threw a ball out here and it went straight out for a throw or was picked up by a Watford player, or the ball was played here and a pass was maybe cut out going towards Ndidi from the back line, that the middle, that the covering central defensive midfielder was alongside the pairing of Soyuncu and Evans, which meant that Leicester could still drop back a little bit, but also hold that line and drop back a lot slower to not only allow Luke Thomas and on the right Castagnier to fill in them gaps, whether that was out on the wide to stop Watford breaking down and getting in behind Leicester's high line press, or it was to fill the gap just a little bit whilst the other midfielder was chasing back. And that's pretty much how Leicester played the majority of the game. And it's granted at times when Watford came forward that Leicester were reverted to playing very deep and closer to their own box. But what that also then allowed was Leicester to almost play a high line wing back to press out on the wings and force the opposition into the middle. Because not only did Ndidi, and we'll get onto his antics in the box, packing it in Ndidi, otherwise you'll be off this board, right? He filled the gap for the midfield. It then allowed Bakary Samare, and it also allowed at points Lukman, which was very surprising to see. But then it allowed Barnes to also be not too close to the action, but just in plain line of view for a loose ball. It then also allowed Jamie Vardy to be sat where he likes to play. And what that meant is probably depending on the side the attack came down is to whether it was from the right and Lukman was probably shoring up that gap there sort of role, or if they were attacking down the left, which would allow Harvey Barnes to then get back in and really squeeze that middle. It also meant that depending on that side, so if it was Harvey Barnes squeezing the middle, that Luke Thomas could be on the front foot and be pressed forward and vice versa on the right if it was Lukman trying to squeeze that defensive middle, that Castagne found himself free to be able to push forward. And what that then allowed is all of a sudden Leicester would pick up the ball in the middle here. Lukman would use his pace. Harvey Barnes would progress up the field. The wing-backs, which they would become, would then join that attack. And Vardy could then start to push Watford hurriedly back. And that's where Leicester got the most joy, because all of a sudden on the front foot, whilst Leicester were working it up the pitch quickly with their front men and the danger men and the wingers, the gap wasn't left, because that allowed Ndidi to push quicker out whilst these two got their shape back, but also caught up to him to then stretch that back line. So while it was high press, it was very well covered. And that's exactly what Leicester did perfectly in transition all game. They perfectly, and sorry to my little midfield man, he was missing there. He was just watching on from the stands. I forgot to include him in that. But again, that's just the pivotal point of James Maddison in the attack, which again, I will get on to now. But that's how Leicester transitioned. The transition was brilliant. From defence to attack, they did the mix of pace and patience and were willing to make sure that the furthest they would go back was halfway into their own half. None of this nonsense of a ball getting passed back to Evans and he's got Kaido, Soyuncu and Marty next to him and Casper there and starting deep in their half. That was something that was very notable. So I'm just going to quickly, because I know Chris doesn't like these segments to drag on, and although he's listening, he's watching on Sky. But Maddison, one of the main threats today, I would agree that it probably wasn't his best game for Leicester. He's probably had many in the memories. But Maddison here normally operates in what I call a box role. And the box role is just before the halfway line and just at the edge of the area. But it's very restrictive in what he can do. He was normally running a line between there to collect the ball, there to push forward. And what that meant is if he ever tried to kind of really push his limits on maybe his extended area, which they call the allowance area, which is like the area where you're allowed to go in it, but don't really stray into it too much if possible matters, was very easy for defenders to go, right, he's going to pass it that way. I'm going to recover back. You get clipped, you take a shoulder barge, you go down. And what that meant is Maddison probably lost a bit of confidence in that area. What we saw today, and this will quickly sum up the last of my tactic analysis for it, focusing on a player today, is Maddison was given this sort of freedom. He was given this freedom. He was given the full range. If he had to come short on his defensive duty and be the second highest behind Vardy in the attack and picking it just inside our half, just over the halfway line, he was there. He could have been there for that side. He could have been there for that side. He could have been there if Barnes needed help on the wing. He could have been there to help Vardy, which he did superbly for the first goal. He did that perfectly because his little shadowed run wasn't picked up by the Watford defender. He saw Vardy. He thought, I can duck my head because the ball's going to go through to my goalkeeper. Maddison said, thank you very much, mate. It's not going to go to goalkeeper, though, and scored. Maddison was given the freedom of that midfield. Not to do as he's pleased, clearly something they worked on, but to be able to support and roam. So he's not predictable. He got clipped far less today, and that's all come about from Rodgers and the guys working on the scenes and going, right, here's plan A. Plan A is slow, and sideways. And plan B is gun. Aggression. Right? And what Brendan Rodgers has actually done is instead of trying to figure out how to work that and that, he's gone, hold on, I'll add that together. And honestly, you look back over that 90 minutes and tell me that Leicester don't calculate, given the conditions as well, fairly well, when to be patient and when to press. And that was the biggest difference we've seen in Leicester's performances over the last few weeks. Thanks for that, Chris. Thanks for being patient with me there.
No. You summed it up a lot better than I could. Just the funny thing is, just looking at your action board here, I'm just looking at the BBC's one, which may be a bit more sort of use of graphics and what have you. But apparently, it's Man United drawing 0-0 at Chelsea at half time. But apparently, Man United have only had two touches or two players inside Chelsea's penalty box. And apparently one of those was Fred falling over. So,
well.
I love it. Good evening to David. How are you, sir? Welcome along. Jeff says, perhaps if Leicester played in the same colours as Brad uses, I would begin to understand. It doesn't come with the 11 blue ones, Jeff.
Yeah. Sorry, James. I do. That's why I try and be as descriptive as I can, because I don't actually have 11 blue counters. No. They're all multicolored.
Brookline says you should draw Tillerman sitting on the bench. Maddison has been freed. I just think, somebody's just said if Tillerman's comes back in, will Maddison still get that same freedom?
I would actually like to think so. In the greatest respect to Tillerman's, in the greatest respect to Tillerman's, if this is what we're going to see going forward for Leicester, then he's got injured or not. Don't like a player being injured. Always want to see them be able to play for Leicester City, especially someone of his talent. I want to see playing for Leicester when fit and available. But if we're going to sit here as Leicester fans and say maybe Iheanacho should play because Vardy's gone on like an 8-9 game game run without scoring, which we've done before as fans. And if you're going to sit here and say Maddison's off the boil, get Dewsbury Hall in, give it Tillerman's, drop him, then Maddison's in great form. Do something extra on that training ground to see if Brennan, sit and wait your turn in the nicest sense to him. Just sit and wait your turn, because right now you're not going to get back in that team no matter who you are.
Indeed. Okay, so just before we finish on this match, this is what is going to be coming up next. We've got a busy week next week at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. That's Monday. We've got a Watford fan joining us. That'll be interesting, because it's been a long time since I spoke to an opposing fan when we've actually won. So that will be nice. And he'll be talking about his thoughts on Claudio. And then tomorrow night at 9, we've got the first of the two prediction show, Brad. So I'll see you back then.
I'm looking forward to that. I don't know why.
Quickly moving on. Then Tuesday at 7, we've got the Southampton preview with Craig. And then on Tuesday at 9, the doubleheader again, X on the pitch with Julian Watts, and we'll be talking, I think, defensive things with Julian on that one, just for a change. Wednesday, of course, we've got the match. Now, I don't wish to actually sort of jinx this, but last time that we played Southampton away in a night game and I went, also was the last time Alan, who does our match stats, went, we won 9-0. So could it happen? Hope it's not going to rain.
On the Super Six, I've already said it. They've done it on the Super Six when he does that. I've already put it in, mate. I've already penciled it in.
Well, fingers crossed. But I hope it doesn't rain like it did in that game, because I'm sat about 3 rows from the front, so I'd get absolutely soaked if it is. So as you can imagine, it will be late back that night, so there'll be no post-match there. You've very kindly agreed to do that on the Thursday at 7, Brad. And I'll have you twice that night. I'll have sloppy seconds with you, because we've then got the prediction show at 9. We just can't keep us apart, can we? For the weekend games. And then, of course, on Friday at 7, we've got the Aston Villa preview with us. So it's going to be a busy week next week. But it'd be great, because it's the first match I've been to, live match this season. And I don't go to as many now because I don't have the season ticket. So it's nice to get that chance to go away and watch them at a ground that hasn't been totally horrible to us. Now, man of the match, I told you I thought it was Maddison. I've got to be honest with you. I think he deserved it. It was one of his best games. He's just coming back into form. You've got two assists and a goal. This is the way that Alan Bennett, who does our post-match stats as he leaves the stadium, saw the match. He's gone for Jamie Vardy, which they have on the BBC, to be honest with you. And I know Jerry Taggart just edged it for Vardy because of the two goals on LCFC radio. Madison was his second. And seven for the manager, seven for the team. And I know there's a couple earlier in the chat, Brad. If I go right back to the beginning of if I can find it, he says, famous last words. Where are we? Here we go. And they also went for Vardy as well. Rene went for Vardy. And David went for Vardy as well. What about yourself?
You know what? I sat there and watched Madison's performance and thought, if Vardy did that, he'd definitely get man of the match. See, the thing is, they both did their jobs and more, probably over the average expectation over the 90 minutes. You expect a striker to have a good game, maybe get a, and get a goal. You know, he's done his job really well. But as a number 10, and adding to the fact that, you know, literally what we've just touched upon as a topic, with the likelihood that, I mean, Tillemans, I can't see him taking that role off Samore anytime in that role. And I can't see him under current form coming straight back in and taking Madison's position. So I think for what was needed for Madison to start making that position more of a regular thing, and he's got a few weeks to do that with Tillemans' injury, I believe. Someone might correct me in the comments and say he's back.
I think you're right on that. They said that a couple of weeks into December, possibly.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, considering we can be quite critical of him, and it's a nice sort of critical in a way, because we know, and he knows, you can tell by the way he responds to things, that he knows he's not always been at his fluent best. But given this, I'd actually give it to Madison.
Yeah,
I genuinely believe on terms of need for a performance to continue on from midweek, he really impressed me. He got two goals and an assist, and his assist was borderline just as good as Jamie Vardy's flip for the goal.
I just wanted to say to you there, Brad, that I wasn't going really like, your choice of Madison. It's just Man United have just scored against Chelsea.
see, I hate to say it, but I been following a few people on that and watching a few shows, and I said Manchester United might take on this new change of regime, if you will, bounce, and they're beating currently top of the league, and they're not playing Ronaldo. So
no, Jordan Sancho got the goal, so maybe he's coming into form. So that just pushes us down, because I did the table, and this was as it stood post-match. But in fairness, we have dropped down one position from this as things stand at the moment. I haven't actually even loaded it. But so with the table as things stand at the moment, we've actually gone up, and we are, let me just have a look here, we are in 10th position on 18 points, only two off top six now, and Wolves, who are still sat in there. We were ninth, but Man United decided to go and prove that, you know, maybe Carrick should get the wheel full time. But we're 9 points off the bottom three, so yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, it just shows what a difference a few games can do to you in football. We went from bottom to top of our Europa League. Napoli are suddenly not looking the most difficult side to play. I'm sure that'll be a completely different story when we play them. Yeah. However, all of a sudden, Leicester win, they're 2 points off top six, and things are finally coming up Millhouse. If you know the reference, you know the reference. But, you know, it just shows how and it goes back to what you said yourself earlier, just how close this season is.
Yes.
It's nice to see, in a weird way. And all of a sudden, the gap between us and where we were before kickoff is 9. And, you know, the gap between where we want to be and where we were is, like you literally said, is now 2. So Southampton up midweek. We go on to that one, and based on the form of both clubs currently, in return of recent results performances, I'm hopeful it continues past, you know, into next week. Oh.
As you mentioned that, let's have a look at Hey, Scott, are you all right? Sorry, just Jeff says it's sloppy seconds, my hashtag name. Again, as we always say, another time, another show. I think there, Jeff. I've got nowhere to go with that, and where I could go, I'm definitely not going to. Let's have a look at upcoming games. So after Watford, we have got Southampton away. Now, just looking at it, they're sat there in 15th place at the moment. Did they win this weekend or did they lose?
They got thumped by Liverpool, mate.
Oh, they did 4-0. That is quite correct. So we've got them coming up. Then we've got Villa, who, let's face it, they had a good result against Palace at the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm not allowed to speak about them because you banned the talk of predictions in there. But yeah, Villa did well. again, feeling the effects of Steven Gerrard. Very, very well. Got a bit of reprieve because they were initially down to 10 men at 1-0. Yeah. But then VAR stepped in and it was deemed a yellow card. I didn't watch the game or anything, so I didn't see the foul myself. No. But
I know Southampton lost to Norwich as well.
Yes.
So maybe it's a good time to play Southampton. Then, of course,
normally they don't seem to like the winter, mate. They don't seem to like the winter because every time they come around, the 9-0 is only around the corner for them.
I know. Carry on, FA, picking us evening games away at St Mary's. And then, of course, the big one against Napoli. Now, a week on Thursday, I think it is, isn't it? So that's all to play for there.
Yes, it is. And of course, it just, it's the fact that Leicester went from bottom of their group to top. The one pleasing thing for Leicester is it's probably in a weird way, considering how both teams go, Leicester have probably got a higher percentage of guaranteeing top two, regardless of the result at Naples. Obviously, Leicester will go out there with the intent to get the correct result. I mean, a draw would still, you would assume, do that for Leicester. I believe it does anyway. So Leicester have to.
I don't think we can come bottom, can we?
No, we can't. We physically cannot come bottom because of the fixtures of what's left. So whether Leicester fans will obviously be hoping it's in the latter, but it one way or another, it's either Europa League Conference or Europa League knockout stages that Leicester in. I would say we'd get Spurs, but they're finding a way to kick themselves out of the group at the moment. So, Leicester will be assured European football. And I think that kind of played its part a little bit in today's game.
The pressure was off them a little bit.
Yeah, in the weirdest sort of way, it's in their hands. I know it's going away from home. You could say it's a bit advantageous, but if Leicester could go out and put in a performance like they did against Liga Warsaw and the result elsewhere kind of maybe peters out to a draw or the team with the lesser points wins that game and can't catch Leicester, then Leicester's still top of the group and they're actually, they'll get, I think that'd be kind of just to turn the form around if Leicester don't lose their next two games, maybe pick up 4 points because Villa away is going to be a bit more of a difficult challenge if Villa are in the form they're in. But if you could get through that and say Leicester have really turned a corner, if they can top the group and avoid an extra round in Europe, it's going to make post-December a bit easier for Leicester to manage.
We'll have two less games to play and less travelling. Anthony, good evening, sir. Thank you that you think we'll get 6 points. You've more confidence in us than we have. Scott says it here. Good evening, Scott. Performances are getting better. Still few issues at the back, but at least we seem to have more flair in attack. Yeah. And I think, for me, getting the performances that we've had in the last two games, and I'm dreading the fact that it's going to be another fault storm because we've said this after Man United and it didn't come through. But when you look at our games, we have got a really, really tough December. Villa's not going to be as easy as we thought it was maybe a few weeks ago. Suddenly that's become tougher. We've got the Napoli game thrown in there. We've got Newcastle who are going to be fighting for their lives. We've then got Spurs, Everton, Liverpool in the Carling Cup, Man City on Boxing Day, and Liverpool on the 28th. It's a tough old December, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, that old cliche as well is no game's really easy, except for on paper as a game easy in football. It's never as easy as it's supposed to be. But there's a bit of difference between Leicester playing the next couple of games than they did with like you said, maybe the false dawn against Manchester United. Is we've probably sat here now and witnessed two games in a week, and listening to the way Roger said that, you know, he literally in his own words said that was what we've been waiting for. That's been, you know, I understand, and obviously Scott's very right, there is still a few defensive issues. But I think Brendan's kind of, and this is why I stress again, and it's clearly something that he's more happier to do, is it's a lot easier to fix a simple problem, which is step it up a gear, go back to the counter press, make it higher up the pitch. They can do that a lot easier than focusing all the eggs on one basket, which is do not concede. Because, and I don't know if anyone does follow the women's team, over the last few games, unfortunately, the performances didn't warrant results. And unfortunately, Leicester City women's parted ways with Morgan as the manager. But I kept an eye on them games and saw as much as them could. And the performances improved, but they were so desperate to get that first point on the board for the women's team that inadvertently they conceded a late goal against Brighton and they conceded a late goal against Everton, which has obviously coincided with Morgan being relieved of his duties as Leicester women's manager. Leicester probably got into that situation where Brendan was able to. I know it's a different comparison to our women's team to men in terms of the women's have taken on an absolute new venture this season. This is something surreal and new to them, whereas Leicester City have been in the Premier League now for a few seasons and have enough about them to now to do it. That Brendan was able to revert back to something and say, let's not be afraid of conceding. Let's get right what we know we can do right. And as we've seen over seasons, we actually do it a lot better than other teams, which is score. You know, that classic England song, going to score more than you. Well, Leicester actually are quite good at doing that when it seems necessary.
Yeah. You've got to love Scouser's senses of humour. BBC, Nathan, who's a Liverpool fan, has just said, Carrick has proven he's up to the job. United need to appoint him permanently ASAP. And on that note, Nathan, it's a great way to end the show. Brad, thank you so much. I'll be moving in with you next week. Let's hope we have as much fun and good things to talk about as we have these last two games.
Yes, I'm hoping so, mate. I'm hoping that I'm right and this is the start of it and it's not a false dawn. We'll soon find out because we've not got many days to wait, have we?
Not at all. On Wednesday, Southampton away. Fingers crossed, mate.
Brilliant.
Right. Thank you so much. I'll let you go and enjoy what's left of your Sunday. And I will see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, sir.
I shall see you tomorrow at 9, mate. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Do hit the sub button and hit the like button because Chris does great work for the channel. And I really wouldn't have anything to do with the whiteboard if I didn't.
Cheers, mate. And your whiteboard is... Brandon is bored. This is why you've got your own jingle now. It is such a good part of the show.
I'm glad I do it and I'm glad I speak sense to most people. And don't worry, to those that keep bringing it up, I will be ordering some more, so I will have an all-blue one, and I'll try and get another one for the opposition so you can tell, for those that are watching it live, can tell the difference between a Leicester player and an opposition player.
I did obviously put that one up on TikTok and put it as a link, and some people are just, I don't know whether they are naturally thick or whether they actually practice in front of the mirror. But, you know, they think, well, this is a clip, so I don't know the full story, but I'm going to go out and say you've got 12 things on the board because we're only allowed 11 because there's only 11 in a team. And, like, it's a clip of the show. Plug your brains in, recharge them, and just think maybe it's part of the show and the other ones might be the strikers. I give up sometimes. I do give up, Brad, but there we go. Hopefully you won't, and as always, you and your board are always welcome.
That's very good to hear, because he's got to pay rent now. Told him he can't just keep earning his way like that. It's white borders. Could go out and get a job if you cast it out.
You will be on the BBC before we know it. Thanks very much, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Take care. I will see you tomorrow.
Cheers. Thanks to Brad, as always, there. Am I going to sneeze? I don't think I am. Hopefully that will have gone. Thanks, Jeff, for those few kind words. They mean a lot. Man United of... I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Oh, God, don't you just hate that? Excuse me. Oh, God, you hate that when you're about to? And I hate it. Thanks, yet for those few kind words, Jeff, making me sneeze, but I do appreciate them. Full week next week. Say two prediction shows with Brad, two post-matches with Brad, and Steve Linick's turning up as well for the predictions on both of those, so it'll be great to have him on. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, please do as it says there and give us a subscribe. It does mean an awful lot. Shows your support for the channel if you're on YouTube. And press the likes button on the video. It really does help us out, and it does as it helps the channel out and shows your support for us as well. It's been great. If you want to catch up, and if you've missed the show at all, of course, on YouTube, you can watch it on Leicester Till I Die TV. And I'll tell you what, if you want to listen to the show, it's available on all the main podcasts, including Apple, Spotify, Google, Podcast Addict, Anchor, and many more. Just ask, or if you've got a smart speaker, ask it to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die. It has been unbelievable. We've literally had been doing the podcast. We only started it last November. It was a throwaway remark. And it was actually Craig who said, "Why don't you do it as a podcast? Some people want to listen to it." Over 12,000 plays. It is amazing, guys. Thank you so, so much. We are going to be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll be speaking with the Watford fan. I might just enjoy that, methinks. I'll see you there. Good night. Stay safe.
Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!
Hi, this is Chris from